Let us all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, who loves us so much, our Father, when we're far apart from you and we're living in sin, we became your enemies as sinners. And we were faced with eternal judgment in hell. But you loved us so much, so that even when we did not even know you, you loved us. And you have allowed your Son, Jesus Christ, to receive the penalty and the judgment. And you have cleansed all our sins with the blood of Jesus Christ, and have allowed us the inheritance of heaven without any work or effort on our part. And we have saved us not just to live on this earth that's going to be going away, but for us to do your work. And in this land, there is really no true peace. But you have given us a true peace in our hearts, and we thank you so much for that. Now, in the rest of our lives, let us not be swayed by the things of this world, but allow us to continue to live for your will, and strive to live righteously, to do the will of your work. And thank you for that opportunity, Lord. At this time, and all of us who have been cleansed by your sin, blood have gathered. And we're here to praise you and sing your name and share in fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Even at this time, we believe that your Holy Spirit will be with us and will be watching over each one of us, and will continue to learn and be full of the Holy Spirit that you have poured upon us, Lord. And we know that we believe that you will continue to allow us to learn the right way of living Christian life, and never then allow our hidden sins to come forth, so that we can repent and be more righteous before you, Lord, and so that we can stand up before you to continue to do your work without shame. And around us, there are still a lot of people who continue to not know you, and allow us to continue, allow us the wisdom and strength to continue to evangelize the good news to us, to many of those people out there, so that we can glorify you. In a few days, there's going to be a spring retreat, and many brothers and sisters are praying and working together to make it a success. And pray that you'll gather as many lost souls as possible to this spring retreat, and allow all our efforts to be a glory to you, Lord. And for brothers and sisters who are not with us right now, wherever they are, please watch over them. And all those people who are in sickness, please heal them. For those hearts, for those who have doubtful, weak hearts, please be with them and strengthen them, and let no one be lost before you. And I pray also for those brothers and sisters, all the missionaries all throughout the world. Please watch over their minds and over their bodies, so that they continue to be one together in you, and be courageously continue to spread the gospel to those there. And God, just give us the right words that we need in our hearts and our souls, and continue to mold us, and so that that your words can continue to be ingrained in us. I pray all this in your name. Amen. I'm going to read Book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, chapter 73. Psalms, chapter 73, from verse 1 to verse 28. Psalms, chapter 73, from verse 1 to verse 28. A psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. And they say, "How does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?" Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. If I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. Let's read the Bible. Let's go to Book of John, chapter 5. Book of John, chapter 5. From verse 2 to verse 9, I'll read to you. John, chapter 5, verse 2 to verse 9, I'll read to you. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease that he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. So every Sunday morning, we have been learning about what the Holy Spirit does for us. Today, we want to learn about the Holy Spirit who saves our souls. And next week, from Friday, there's going to be a spring retreat. And during the time of spring, when everything comes back to life, those trees that seem to be dead over the winter season is starting to sprout new leaves. And there's more livelihood throughout the nature. And this is a great season. So in such season of spring, I hope that many souls that had seemed to be dead will come back to God and be glorifying God, and also great joy to us. So for this, there have been many people who have been preparing and praying and evangelizing for this. And if you look at the verse book they just read, it talks about how Jesus does the work of saving sinners, and so that everyone can be saved from their sins, and giving providing the grace for everyone. And this grace of God is the Holy Spirit that uses this grace and allows this grace to work in people's hearts. And the grace of through which the Holy Spirit works is what we're going to talk about today. Book of John is not, well, there's a story that is not recorded anywhere else. And just as we just read, it talks about a pool named Bethesda. And it's along the way to Jerusalem, and it talks about sheep gate pool, and this is it looks like a gate where sheep was driven in and out of this sheep gate. And next to this sheep gate, it's called in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. But here, they describe this pool called Bethesda in Hebrew. And Bethesda means the house of God, and that's what the meaning of that word is. This is a place where God's grace is given. There's a pool called Bethesda. And it also talks about having five porches around this little pool. This is a place where they could rest around the water. So here, there were five porches around the pool, but it wasn't as if people were tourists around this pool. But around this pool, there are many multitudes of sick people. Some that are blind, some lame, some paralyzed. They said they're all laying there by the water. And because they're so weak physically and had been in pain, that sometimes don't even have the strength to even sit up. So many of the sick people were laying down by the water, waiting for an angel to come down to stir up the water. So apparently once in a while, the angel came down a certain time to stir up the water. It's not as if someone threw something into the pool, but an angel from heaven came down by the pool to stir up the water. And once the water stirred up, no matter what disease they had, whoever gets into the pool, as soon as the water stirred up, were healed of their diseases, whatever they had. Even if So all kinds of people, sick people, with many different types of disabilities, were there. Whatever condition they had, they were completely healed as soon as they went into the water. So why was this story recorded in the Book of John? And why was event, and why did this occur? Sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense. So this story was placed in the Book of John in order to explain the rest of the chapter 5 in Book of John. Entire Book of John, if you look at verse 20, and God is trying to allow people to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, so that people can attain the eternal salvation, and the fact that Jesus is the Savior. So the purpose of the John book was to allow people to believe that Jesus is the Savior. And the book of four books of New Testament talks about very different things, about life of Jesus. But Book of John explains what Jesus did in most detail in the Book of John. So I believe that more people have received salvation from Book of John. So I always recommend people to read Book of John and Book of Romans. So Book of John describes the life of Jesus in detail, and Book of Romans talks about in detail about sins and the life of a Christian, and it describes that in most detail. So So the event that occurred in Book of John, chapter 5, by Bethesda, is it talks about what the work of Jesus was regarding saving sinners. So all these sick people that were by Bethesda, these were people who were in pain and despair, who had no joy in life, and lived their life. Symbolizes all the people in the world. All the people in the world are sinners, and but by Adam committing sin, he got the sickness called being a sinner, and every person that were born after that were born as sinners. When we check for our health in an early physical, there are certain hereditary diseases that can be passed down to family members, but it's not 100% passed down, but there are higher chance of those diseases passing down. Likewise, we all receive a sin from Adam, and we're born as sinners and with sinful nature in us. And the fact that we're sinners, we are people who are spiritually dead, and those who are apart from God have left God. So we have all been born in sin, and we sin throughout life. And this is, sin can be described as a sort of a disease. So in some people, diseases come off more symptomatic than others, but it's the fact that we all have a disease called sin in us. And so we lived in sin, and we are in sin, and that's why our bodies, our minds are dying because of the sin. And that's why soon after after death, there is going to be a great judgment after our death, and end up with the judgment of eternal hell. So all the sinners in this world are people who, these people by the pool are the people, all the sinners in this world who have the disease. And the fact that they're waiting for the water to stir. Once in a while, God would send angel to this pool. What does this mean? This story gives us a very, very important fact, important lesson for all of us. When the water stirs, someone who gets into the water first is said to be healed from their disease completely. Jesus came from heaven, and those who went into, people that went into the water, the fact that they're healed, that they're been getting healed from their physical diseases, and it's not something that happened often, but it happened once in a while. So in the other books, there's no record of this pool. Jesus, he healed many sick people as he went around. He allowed people to eyes to see those for those blind. He people that are paralyzed. He people that are there's nothing that Jesus cannot heal, but Jesus did not come to this world to heal the diseases of our bodies. But he came down to He wants to look for us, our souls, who have been mired in sinful despair. And He came down to save our souls, to take us back to God. This is why God, who saves, the work that He did is symbolizing His work through this pool. And as He walked around Israel for 3.5 years, and all the miracles that Jesus performed, right, did not mean to only just solve the problems of the flesh, but through this miracles, He wants to explain what He wants to do with our diseased souls. There are verses in which He explains that these main verses that describe diseased people as sins. There are some people that would live by themselves and die on the wild. And there are people that just isolated and passed away, and because disease can be spread. This is a image of sinners. And those sinners that cannot be among the healthy. But God is trying to show that He, with the blood of Jesus Christ, any disease can be cleansed, anything can be healed. Anybody who's blind from birth, anybody who has diseases from birth, they can all be healed. The eyes that see this world, animals have the same eyes. Sometimes, like eagles, have amazing vision, but in people, because of our sins, there are things that we cannot see with our physical eyes. This eternal world that cannot be seen with our eyes. We have the ability, but because of sin, that part of our ability was taken away. When Adam first committed sin, disobeyed God, he finally saw the shame that he had being naked. And so the eyes that he was able to see the eternal world and God became blind. So the only thing they could see was things of the world, of the present. And when we become born again, our eyes that had been blind in our souls have become open again. And God said He wants to brighten our eyes when we become born again. As soon as we're born again, the things that we were not able to see with our eyes, we now can see. We can recognize the eternal world. And the things that we cannot see with our eyes, we can, through the Word of God, we can really finally recognize Him and recognize the eternal world. Also, when He revived, resurrected people that are dead, it also symbolizes how our souls are resurrected when we become born again. When He chases away the Satan from people that are possessed, those people who are who are afraid all the time, who are in fear, God can truly give peace to those people. When He fed thousands of people with bread, He talks about what He's going to give to all of us. So all the miracles that Jesus performed symbolizes explains the process of what happens with our souls when we become born again. This is why we know for a fact that Jesus did not come to In John chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For as Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to him who He will." So, in verse 25, it says, talks about how when people hear the voice of the Son of God, those who are dead will live again. Those who hear the gospel, those who hear the voice of the Son of God, will hear again. And when we are born again, our eyes have become open again. And the authority of Satan over us was destroyed when we became born again. And becoming born again is really the greatest miracle for all of us. This is why when just as the, it talks about the water being stirred and someone whoever goes gets into water first and that person becoming healed, it is symbolizing the coming of the Holy Spirit after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does the water represent here in the pool? If you look at Ephesians 1, it talks about how the water is used to cleanse the sins. There are verses that describe the cleansing of our sins with water and becoming born again through water and the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. So in this verse, of these main verses, it talks about how our souls are saved. Salvation, that is called the gospel. And this gospel is by listening to the gospel on the day that we understand and believe. And the gospel has God's grace. And once we understand God's gospel, we become born again. Our lives change and our spiritual growth can occur finally and become fruitful in our spiritual journey to glorify God. And it is the Holy Spirit that allows each one of us to listen to the gospel and allow that gospel to be believed, understood in our hearts. It is the Holy Spirit's work. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, we can't understand the gospel. That's why if you look at 2 Corinthians, it says, God wants us to really know the gospel. And it is the Holy Spirit that allows us to understand the gospel. So, Thessalonians talks about how our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. It's not something that just goes through in our ears, just as in words. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it comes also in power and gives us in much assurance. And this is the same as the water being stirred up in Bethesda. And so this gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Spirit. This is when we can become born again. So in Bethesda, when the water was stirred, it allowed the water allowed people to become healed temporarily. But Jesus, on the other hand, he's healed many people, and he tried to portray how he was going to use the Holy Spirit to heal, restore our souls so that we can become born again. So when the water is stirred, this is when the Holy Spirit works. When the water is not stirred, nothing happens, no matter what. Even when people go into the water, no disease is healed. Only when the water is stirred, that's when the water has power. Likewise, When people hear the gospel, if the Holy Spirit does not work in them, they do not become born again. And it's something that we need to know. So when the Holy Spirit comes in us and when it does the work of saving our souls, how does it work? Does the Holy Spirit just come in from the heaven? Let's go to the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 26 and verse 27. And I'll read to you. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And when Jesus talks about how he's going to send the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 and 15, Jesus is the one that gives the Holy Spirit is what gives us the gospel and the grace. And it's the one that helps us to become born again. And when they become born again, people stay next to them, try to open up the Bible for them, and they pray and help them to become born again. And this is what the Helper does. In order for our spirit, Holy Spirit, be born again, it is the Holy Spirit that helps us to become born again as well. So, the Holy Spirit, helps us to understand the gospel. So, what does the Holy Spirit? So it does the work of helping in other souls becoming born again. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps people to become born again. And it works through people, through other born again Christians, to pass on the gospel to others. This is an amazing thing. This is why when Jesus was resurrected, in the book of John chapter 20, talk to the disciples and talks about how he was sent by God and in order to do God's will, and God's will was for him to be crucified on the cross for the sin of all people and defeat the authority of death, and so that God just can provide the evidence for others to believe in him as the Son of God. But that just went back to heaven, and who are the people that spoke of the gospel and what Jesus did? It was and we are one of them, and God talks about how he's going to send people to do God's work and witness to people around us about what God has done. And he described it in terms of harvesting grains that are ready to be harvested. And if these grains are not harvested, they just will just decay and just rot away on the field. But it is the responsibility of the those that are born again to do that. To and without someone who spreads the gospel, who will be able to hear that? And without someone who actually spreads the gospel, there's no one who will become born again. As you know, when you became born again, did you become born again because you were just especially smarter than other people? No, it's because of those who have prayed for you, for those who have led you to listen to the gospel. So for those who have, there has to be help and assistance from those who are already born again. So when we don't spread the gospel, then we are wasting away the effort of Jesus Christ of dying on the cross. We're making it less valuable. Can that be allowed? So through those that are born again, the Holy Spirit works, and when that gospel is told and spread, and another person can become born again. God does not work through those who are not born again. It cannot happen. It's a very, very special times, occasions where God would allow those who allow people to become born again through just reading a Bible alone or looking at reading books. But it's very rare. But if there's no one to help you to receive God's word, it's very difficult to become born again without the help. But that's most typical way is for people to become born again through the help of those that are already saved. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to be a witnesses to those people to the end of the world. That's the task that God has given all the Christians in the world, so that the work of God can be revealed and his name be glorified. So we realize how important of job that we have. If you look at John chapter 14, verse 12, talks about the works that I do, he will do also. The greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So you see how amazing this verse is? So he says, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. Jesus resurrected the people. Even the disciples, apostles, resurrected the people as well. They performed great miracles. Just as I told you, those people in the early church, those people of Israel, they rejected Jesus because they did not accept him as the Messiah. Even now, the Jewish people, they said those Jewish people that believe in Christ as heretics, they still don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And these are the people that stoned Stephen to death. And they persecuted all the apostles. And they even forced Apostle Paul to be taken to Rome to be judged. This is why many people believe God, but because the Holy Spirit isn't present where they are, they do not truly know the gospel. So there are people who are opposing God's will. Even now, many people believe in Jesus, but are not able to become born again. Why is that? Why is that? It's really a homework for us. It says, just believe in God. So we ask people, do you believe in God? I say, I do. But then you say, are you born again? They said, well, I don't know. A lot of people say, how am I going to know until I die? there are many people who say they believe in Jesus, but those who are truly born again are a lot fewer. It's true, and it's very surprising. There are people that are spreading Jesus that don't exist. A lot of people are spreading the wrong gospel. So they're talking about different Jesus. You know about the figs, right? A lot of people like brand name things. If they buy something cheaper and if you throw away, it's no problem. But some people believe if you pay a lot of money thinking that something's real, and if you think it's real, but that means you have been lied to. So who do you think makes the fake Jesus and fake gospel? It is Satan. A lot of people think, who cares about the spiritual world and afterlife? Some people, they don't believe in any afterlife. And people just don't think about that anymore. They just live their life any way they want. But because our soul is within us, we seek the eternal world, the eternal God. And Satan created many, many different religions. It is Satan that created all these different religions. Some people say that they believe in Jesus, they allow them to believe in Jesus, but the people that, especially Israel, they were selected by God, and they live all their life thinking, believing in God. And even those were under the authority of Satan. So Satan is not afraid of anybody who's going to church. They allow people to build big churches, allow them to praise God any way they want. Just say, don't get saved. It just hides everything but, shows everything but salvation. So they make Jesus into something that they believe in, but not allow people to become born again. How can people who are not born again receive the Holy Spirit? But they think that they receive Holy Spirit. If you listen to their stories, you know that they receive Satan, the wrong spirit. Some people say their gospel is the true gospel, but it's a different gospel. It's fake. It talks about in the book of Galatians that if the believing in the wrong gospel will curse those who believe that. Some people just kind of frame themselves as being the Messiah, and fool people into believing them, and they even Satan and fake themselves. Hide themselves or into seeming like an angel to fool people into believing them. The fake apostles, those people who fool others, they sometimes show themselves as the gospel or apostle of Jesus, but they're a lot more fake. There's so many more fake apostles and teachers than the true ones. And during the time of Elijah, he was only prophet that believed in God, and they put the statue of Baal and Ezra in the holy temple, and there are 850 prophets of Baal and Ezra. There are many, so many who come forward under the pretense of wearing a sheepskin, even though there's evil underneath. There's those who are under sheepskin, and underneath is a wolf trying to devour people. How could people know what's true and what's not real? Satan, initially, people know that Lucifer was the most beautiful angel that was under God, but all these angels who became Satan, and they became those who cheat and who hide and who lie to fool people into believing the wrong gospel. Right now, this is the most chaotic. This is a time period when there's so much fake gospel out there, especially in under the pretense of Christianity. 21st century, there's so many denominations. There's so many people who go to church. They build the church buildings beautifully, make it look holy, but inside it, there's just false gospel. And I tell people this, and some people misunderstand. Are you the only ones who teach the true gospel? But I hope that there truly is a true gospel out there other than us. But there are more false gospels out there than true gospels. This was a case in the Old Testament, New Testament, throughout history. But throughout history, there are many more people who believe in the false gospel. The Matthew chapter 24 talks about how there are many false Christs and false prophets who arise and show great signs and deceive others. So many people are going to be deceived into believing the false gospel. They just believe in what they see. So, of course, the Holy Spirit and truth is not within them, these false teachings. So wherever the Holy Spirit truly works, the work of the salvation continues. When there's continuation, new souls becoming born again in the church, that is a sign that the Holy Spirit still resides in that gathering. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read verse 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Apostle Paul, at the time he had the highest education. He went to the best seminary, if you compare to today's times. He was someone that was taught by a famous teacher named Gamaliel, and he had great knowledge and great fervor in believing that what he was doing the right thing by persecuting those who believed in Jesus Christ. But he ended up being an apostle that wrote most of the New Testament and spread the gospel. But here, when he talks about the wisdom, and he says that my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Apostle Paul was someone who was very well-spoken and had the ability to talk to people. If you look at verse 3, it says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. So when the Apostle Paul went to Corinth and to spread the gospel, he says that I was within weakness, in fear and trembling. Why? Paul was someone that who was brave and never feared even death in front of even the Gentile kings. But why was he in fear and weakness and trembled before the church of Corinth? Was it because he was sick? Was weak? Why was he scared? Was he cold? That's not the case. But he was afraid of teaching the wrong gospel before the other brothers and sisters. There are sometimes when you do try to spread the gospel the right way through the Holy Spirit, but there are also times when we try to use our own wisdom. But in his case, he really wanted to teach only with the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and its power. And so in order for anyone to do this, we have to depend on the Holy Spirit. We have to trust the Holy Spirit completely when we do God's work. When we spread the gospel, the Holy Spirit has to be with us. That's when the work of the Holy Spirit can come through by saving another lost soul. It's not how well you speak to someone or what your personality is, but that's not how you save someone else. But for us to, you do have certain wisdom and know-how, but if the Holy Spirit is not with you, nothing that you do will work in order to save someone else, someone else's soul. So even Paul, he said he wanted the work to be through the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, so that the faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And even Thessalonians talks about how he wants the gospel be spread, but also wants only in power in the Holy Spirit. Some people, they try to spread the gospel, but doesn't work. Those who are not born again can try to spread the gospel. You can do it through books or different methods. So you could study it and just do it exactly by the book, literally. But no matter how well you spread the gospel, based on your know-how, if the Holy Spirit is not working through you, it's not going to work. The Holy Spirit does not get used by other people when they use their own means. So these people, no matter how much they try to spread the gospel, if it doesn't work, if you're not able to spread the gospel to anybody else, you have to find the reason why that's the case. Some people, they spread the gospel. Some people become born again, some don't. What's the reason? They've all heard the same gospel. It's very odd, but it's a lot of times it is on the responsibility of those people who listen. Those people don't want to become born again, don't have the desire. Those people at Bethesda, when they wished to be healed, they were standing by because they didn't know when the water was going to stir. So they're always at ready, right by the water, and they're looking at the water all the time because they didn't know. They just didn't know when the water will become stirred. So those who went into the water first was healed. So they're always watching the water. And when the water stirred, they try to do everything they can to get into the water first. So it's something that can be taken. by force. Just as the book of Matthew 11 said, sometimes it can be taken by force. Someone who's fast, they can take away. When it says, when the blood of Jesus flows, quickly to go to grab it. When the Jesus, when the Holy Spirit works, you have to grab it by. But sometimes they're lazy. Sometimes they just think, you know, just you go ahead first. I'll just wait for the next one. This yield. This is not something that you can yield or be nice about. Well, it's okay if I don't become born again. Other people can become born again. I'll just wait. You can be nice and let other people have it, but salvation is something that you cannot be nice about. You have to take it. And but God did say when the number of Gentiles that are born again, if that number is filled, our chance, people's chance of Gentiles become born again will end. And there are many things to be nice about and yield to other people, but this is not something that you should be yielding on. You have to take it when you have the chance. And when the time comes, the door's gonna shut, and our chance will end. Many things you can be nice about, and other people's have, but on the issue of becoming born again, you cannot be nice about it. Just like the people, sick people that are waiting for the water to stir, you have to be watching, always be at ready to receive the gospel. You have to wait for the chance of the Holy Spirit to work. He says that surely you call nation you do not know, a nation who do not know shall run to you. So we need to be near when God calls you with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit works, when the Holy Spirit is near, you have to wait for that chance. You have to grab that chance, opportunity, and jump into the water. So those who listen to the gospel, if they are thinking seriously about their soul, if they don't have the yearning to become born again, God, the Holy Spirit, will not work in them. It says in John chapter 7 that he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of heart will flow rivers of living water. And he says this, he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. When I was young, I went with another a old man. And I followed him to a mountains, and one time there was no water. And it was dry, there was drought, there was no water in the mountain. And we were trying to get water from a different village. I was so thirsty. I still remember that being thirsty. When you're thirsty, all you think about is water. Being hungry is a different matter. When you're thirsty, you get really desperate. It says, those who are thirsty, just as water is given to those that are in thirst, those who truly yearn after becoming born again, just like those who are about to drown in water, they have desperation. Those people who are about to slip into the eternal hell, yet you have that desperation as well. And The man who was hung right next to crucified next to Jesus, he asked for him to be considered for the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise. So why can people not become born again? God really wants everyone to become born again. God really wants everyone to receive the salvation. God really wants everyone to become born again. Just as one day, it's 1,000 days. And he wants to show the gospel to everyone. Everyone. He wants everyone to become born again. And he wants God, everyone to receive the grace. Why can't everyone become born again? Because they don't really want it. They said, you know, what? This is whatever. And talks about how if people who neglect the so great a salvation, they would be truly be at peril. Those people, and God created the world with God's word, but salvation could not be done with His only words. He had to sacrifice His only Son, but a lot of people just neglect it. They just ignore it. And then for those people, how can they escape the eternal judgment? The spiritual desperation, that is what we need, what people need to become born again. For those who don't need, who truly want salvation, only in those people who the Holy Spirit works. And just like you can listen to radio stations when it's certain radio wavelength, it has to be at the right wavelength for you to hear the right station. When the gospel tries to get to people, when they turn 100% away from them, it's not gonna work. But when they turn around and face God, when they become at the right wavelength and right tune, then they are able to listen to the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to work. So the desire to become born again and God's wishes to save everyone has to match up for people to become born again. But because of a lot of times, sometimes those people who speak of the gospel, that can have an effect into getting to the way of the gospel. If the speaker does not truly depend on the Holy Spirit, if they just do it just based on their know-how, then the Holy Spirit will also not work in saving people. So those people who, just like people who run into the Bethesda when the water is not stirring, without the work of the Holy Spirit, we cannot become born again, and that is the truth. So those with a true faith, those people, it's not based on how you speak and how much wisdom you have, but it's about how much desperation you have, how much yearning you have to become born again. With that heart, if you listen to the gospel, then your heart will be opened and allow the Holy Spirit to for you to understand the gospel. Book of Acts talks about people who are sitting by the riverside. He talks about several women. And of these people, there was a lady named Lydia. And God opened up Lydia's heart. It says right there on chapter verse 14. What of all the women that was there, why did God only open up Lydia's heart? And God opened up Lydia's heart, and Lydia became born again, and she invited Paul, and everyone in her family became born again. And it says, if you judge me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. and she persuaded Paul to stay at her house. And while he was spreading the gospel in Philippi, who recorded the Book of Acts? It was Luke. Who recorded the Book of Luke? Luke did. Yeah, I like the name Luke. So there are several people. So Lydia persuaded Paul to truly come to her house and have Paul stay there. She opened up her house before she worried about how to make more money, but now she worried about how she can spread the gospel. And she invited the apostles to come to her house. And it started from her house. The church started in that region. The Philippi church was one of the most modern model churches in the early period, and started from her house. When we look at our church history, there are churches that started in a sister's houses. Usually, in general, sisters become born again first. And through churches, sometimes often start with sisters, and then the brothers become born again. So when it's the Holy Spirit is what allows people to become born again. It is the Holy Spirit that allows people to truly understand. Where is the Holy Spirit? It's not by the pool, but that's done now. And Jesus came down to do his work. And where is the Holy Spirit now? The Holy Spirit is within us, amongst us. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." All that power, all that we ask or think, according to the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm positive that it is the Holy Spirit that works in us, in our church. I understand, I believe that there are other churches that have the true gospel that has to be throughout the world. But the churches that spread the gospel the way we do it, the way we exactly with definite way of spreading the gospel, I have not been able to find. There are people who are similar. And this morning, I received a Kakao message to speaking to Pastor O, who is doing on a missionary trip to Africa. There's several new areas of Africa. We have spreading the gospel in about 20 some odd countries in Africa now. Africa pastors, the way they spread the gospel, they have so much passion in the work that they do. When I saw their videos of what they're doing, I saw and I was surprised. They're screaming, they have so much energy and passion. And when the Holy Spirit works in them, and the passion is amazing. Of course, it's only been about 12 years since we started to do missions throughout the world. We have are spreading the gospel in more than 70 countries. We have more than 600 churches throughout the world. If God gives us 10 more years, I believe that we will be able to reach every country in the world. This is a miracle. This is not something that we try to do on purpose. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. From the Jerusalem to the end of the world, and from all the way from east to all the way to the other end of the world, we are trying to to revive the flickering light of the gospel. But the Holy Spirit works through us. We know for a fact that we are the vessel that Holy works through. Let's go to Book of Acts, chapter 10. Book of Acts, chapter 10. Verse 38. Let's read together. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So when, as Jesus went around Israel, as he spoke the gospel, the Holy Spirit was with Jesus. It says God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. So God allowed the Holy Spirit to work in Jesus, just as he was being anointed. So he was doing good things. What did he do? What are the good things he did? He resurrected people and he healed people. What's the greater thing that he did was allowing people to go to heaven. So he talks about how he's confident about the very thing that he's doing the good work until the day of Jesus Christ. So Jesus did the greatest good thing that anyone could do. This is allowing people to go from going to heaven, going to hell to going to heaven. Those people who are dying of diseases, those people, healing those people. It's definitely a good thing. We still see people like that even now. Saving someone who is about to drown in the river, that's also a really good thing. But the best, greatest good that anyone can do in this world, it is the work that Jesus did, is allowing salvation of our souls. Nothing is greater. God's greatest good that he did is allowing people to become born again, and those people who are under the authority of Satan to return to God. After Jesus went back to heaven, what is with us now? It is the Holy Spirit that's with us now, that's amongst us. When Jesus resurrected, that people, God, through Holy Spirit, once also raised resurrect our dead souls. And God has allowed us to do the same with other people. When we spread the gospel to others, we are turning people who are headed for hell, judgment, to go to heaven. And we have the responsibility, we have the task that to do that work. Some people say that, you know, other people will do that work, even if I don't do it. I mean, do you think you don't have the responsibility for this? If you don't want to spread the gospel on your own, what do you have to do? And if you don't, at the least you could do is earn lots of money and donate money for the work of the missions. But I see many, many people just really putting in everything they have. They make, they earn, working hard, and they just keep whatever they need, the minimum, and allow the rest of their earnings to donate it so that and invest it for the work of the church, for the work of the missions. God sees our hearts and he weighs where our heart is. Tries to see if we are gearing more towards God's work or our personal use. So look in your hearts. Which one is more important for you? Do you just always think about what you need to do for a better life? What do you think about how you want to live a better, easier, more joyful life? Is that your main purpose in life? Or do you think about what we can do to do more to make God happy, bring glory to God? Isn't that what you should be thinking about day and night? The days of which, in which we can spread the gospel is numbered. If you don't hurry, the end of that day when we can comes, we will regret that for the rest of our eternity. Am I wrong in saying that? He says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work, in Book of John chapter 9. So what is God's work? It is the work of saving that are lost. Everyone, we need to pray. There's always something we can do for God. And we need to do everything we can when we have the chance. Those who ran into the water first were the ones that were healed. And we have to always be ready, like the person who was ready to jump into the water of Bethesda. That's the mindset we should have. If you wait, if you're neglecting it, then, but when? When are they going to become saved? So even those that are already born again, you must always continuously check your own salvations, make sure that you are born again. So that you don't hear, what are you going to do if God says he doesn't know you? Always check your own salvation, and you have to live like someone who is born again. So of the books that I've written, there's a book called... this book about the evidence of Christian, and there are many evidences in which you are, if you are born again, you have to double check, make sure that you are truly a born again Christian, or if you're being a fake Christian. So just like those who are waiting for the water to stir, you must not rest, even for a second. And we must have our eye on the prize, eye on the water, at always. And for those who are born again, we must always seek to become born again. And then Book of Jeremiah talks about how those who seek God will eventually allow them to meet God with all their heart. If you continue to seek God with all your heart, God will meet you eventually. I don't know why some people who don't have the confirmation of their salvation are just so busy. They'll be busy even until they're dead. I don't know why they're so busy. Those who truly seek after God's word, And become born again, you must, if there's a chance, you must run in and grab the chance when you have the chance. And even this spring retreat, Holy Spirit will work in that retreat. Many brothers and sisters throughout Korea are coming, and they're all praying and they're preparing and they're just putting in so much effort. How could God not work in such a setting? Just as God works in all of us, in each one of us, if you are in the whole mesh of brothers and sisters who are working so hard for this gospel, how could God not work in that environment? Of course, the water is going to be stirred in that setting of the spring retreat. You have to get in there when you get the chance. Just be an onlooker, thinking about, oh, that person is good now. And just look at it and not do anything about it. He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the time. We have the chance now, because this is the day. This is the time. If you look at chapter 10 of Mark, talks about how there's a beggar who named Bartimaeus, who was blind, and he heard that Jesus is going to be walking by. And then Bartimaeus, he had no chance. This was his only chance, and he couldn't see. But when he heard the commotion, and he asked about that, and they said the Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he kind of felt him getting closer. And then he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And other people were saying, "Be quiet." They warned him to be quiet. But was he scared? But even in a louder voice, he said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So even though there's so many people around him, I don't know how they were following him, but he knew exactly who was following him. Jesus didn't hear Bartimaeus because it was loud, but he saw his heart, and he stopped, and he said, "Bring him here." And he says, "What can I do for you? What do you want me to do?" He says, "Rabbani, I want to have my sight back." This Bartimaeus, who was blind since birth, his eyes opened up, and he followed Jesus on the road. If he had missed that chance, it would have been over for him. Just remember, everyone will have a chance. It says in Romans chapter 10 is that the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. It is near. Through the word of mouth, and it also passes the heart. It's not something that's far off. But why do we not receive it, accept it? If you have the yearning to receive God's word, then God will give you the chance to accept it. There's someone in the book of Acts, and he really wanted to receive God's word. And he went to Jerusalem to learn God's word. And these are people that killed Jesus. What could he learn from people who actually rejected Jesus? And he was reading the Bible even as he was reading the book of Isaiah. And then God sent Philip to him. And he says, "How could I understand God's word?" And Philip spoke to the eunuch and went to him, and he allowed him to receive the gospel through Philip. If you are seeking after God's word, he will give you the chance and meet you. In Cornelius, another Gentile, he was a general with 100 soldiers, and every family member of the family wished to receive the gospel. And God saw this and said, "It would be a shame if he's sent to hell." So Peter went there and allowed that whole family to become born again. If you seek for it, God will give you the chance. But if you have the chance, you cannot miss it. In the book of John chapter 4 talks about the woman in Samaria who, as he was walking by Samaria, he ran into a woman who was so sinful, but she was someone that who was seeking after God's word. Whether you have committed many sins or you're a criminal But what matters is how much you're seeking after God's wisdom, God, the gospel. So she was waiting for Jesus. And when he said, when Jesus told her that it was him who was the Messiah, she believed right away, and she left her water container where it was and went back into the village to bring back people. So many people followed this woman and came to see Jesus, and they accepted the word. And he was there for 2 days, and many people in Samaria became born again. And he says, now people are telling, and many people believe, not because of the woman, but the words that were coming out of the mouth of Jesus. And when she spoke in confidence and strength, and people, it persuaded people. And God used this woman from Samaria to be his vessel to spread the gospel to people of Samaria. And those who seek after it, God will give you the chance. And now, not only should we not miss the chance to spread the gospel to other people, let us not let that chance pass. Let's look at the Bible one more time. Let's go back to John chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been there, conditioned for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. So this man, so the miracles of this story, it talks about, it shows what the Holy Spirit does. But among these people who were sick, waiting by the water, it talks about how she had, this person who had been sick for 38 years. Thus, this man had been suffering for a long time and had absolutely no joy of life. And he was just barely breathing, and was a man who was just waiting to die. What hope could this person have? Of 30 years, I'm sure he's tried many things to get well. And if you look at verse 14, it talks about afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." So what is the worst thing that can come to him? You can see that the sin is what caused this disease. And he knows, I'm sure his guilt was riding him quite hard after he became sick. And this person, he had a hope to be well from the lake, from the pool, but because he couldn't move, he had just laid there. Whenever the water stirred, no one would help him to put him in the water. So that Bethesda was very famous, and him, he'd been there for such a long time, he must be well known by then, but nobody was letting him in, helping him. Of course, he was trying to crawl in, but while he's trying to do that, someone will just go in the water. I'm sure he have seen that happen over and over again. But this person knew with his own power, he cannot do anything, and he was just hoping that someone would help him get well to put into the water. But and this person had absolutely no hope and absolutely no, and this is when Jesus called him. This was the one that was had been there for the longest. This one who had the most serious disease, and someone who had absolutely no hope in getting well again. And Jesus picked him and talked to him and asked him, "Do you wish to get well?" I mean, it was so obvious what the answer is. Of course, I do want to get well, but whenever the water start up, no one will help him to put me into the pool, and someone else will come in instead. I'm sure he was hoping that something would happen. He would help him. And did you just say, "I'll get on my back, I'll help you get into the water"? Is that what I said? Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Jesus had no reason to throw him into the water, and he had the ability to heal anything, and he had some ability to save anyone. So with his words, he said, "Rise." By being resurrected, he defeated death and he saved everyone. With that authority, he told this man who had been sick for 38 years to rise. And he says, "You should no longer depend on your bed," and he says, "and walk." God gave him strength. He allowed him to live again, and he allowed him to conquer his own deficiencies in life. He said, "Walk." This walk talks about how, as Christians, we should walk in the path that God has given to us. And he rose and he walked right away. And when you look at this, it talks about those how God would save anyone who comes toward him, who wishes to become saved. If you wish to become saved, God will tell you, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." That's what God will do. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. It says, whoever is thirsty, come and drink. It says in Isaiah chapter 55, "Buy and eat, yes, come, but wine and milk without money, without price." It says it's all free. And Jesus, who have saved us, who has given us life. And those who wish to become born again, and God will show that power and ability of the Holy Spirit to everyone. And I hope that through this spring retreat, I hope that many people become born again, and I hope that you would all pray for this, and also pray for the summer retreat, and this summer, and also pray for every Bible seminar that we have. I hope pray that your God will continue to work and pray for God's Holy Spirit to work in all of us, and may just help us for God's work to become a reality. Let us all pray. Dear Father, who has so much grace, in this time of the end times, you thank you for having called us to become born again. And there are so many people, so many, especially family members, neighbors, and friends. God allowed your gospel, the good news, to reach them, and so that through the power of the Holy Spirit and your word, we pray that many of them will become born again. And God, please, for this spring retreat, pray that you are really work in everyone. I pray all this in your name. Amen.